And last week we began with Sarvitz Sidon Kalmahira, Kaspi Zahadi, Machmadai. We did not finish all the Farshim. We started with Vinei Yehuda, Vinei Yishalayim, Mechartim, Levinei Hayavanim. Okay, so let's review that Pasik. Okay, Pasik Vav. Let's see how far we've gone with the Pasik. No, let's just review the Pasik. Pasik on page 252, right? 252 and 254. Let's just review this Pasik. We'll do all the Pasikim together today. Let's just do all the way until Pasik test. Okay, so that way we'll review a little bit and we'll go forward. Again, it's on page 252 in Yoyel, Perek Dalet, Pasik Vav, Vrei Divinei Yushalayim. This is the complaint against Tsar and Sidaim. We're now enumerating the chatoim of these two nations, Tsar and Sidaim. They took the Vnei Divinei Yushalayim, Mechartem, they sold them. Rabbi Sai. They sold them, Livnei Hayivanim. They sold their children to the Yivanim, Laman Herchikumi Al Gevulam. Okay, we did this on Friday. The reason we didn't perushim as to we were really in the middle of this is they took the children, the people of Tsar and Sidon, when Klal Yisrael was conquered by their enemies. Let's assume during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the nations of Tsar and Sidon, they took advantage of their vulnerability, the fact that they were not in the situation where they were strong. And they kidnapped their little children. What did they do with the little children? They sold them as slaves to the Yevonim, the Syrian Greeks. They sold them to the Greeks, which was a great distance from Eretz Yisrael. Leman harchikami al givulam. We learned last week Rashi. We learned last week the Mepharshim. The simple interpretation is, no one should know about it. I told you another perush, which we'll see soon, is that in order they should not come back. But the simple reason why they sold them to a nation that was far away was a technique that they would get away with it. If they would sell them to the locals, to a local nation, then being that they are neighbors, it would be discovered, the crime, and there would be consequences at some point in time in the future. But if they would sell these children to a nation that's far, far away, there was a much greater chance that they could hide their sin and they would not be held accountable. Pasuk Zayin, okay, we did not do this yet. Hinani mi'iram min hamokoy masher mechartem oisam shama. As a punishment. Now here we're describing the punishment Hashem will do to the nation of Tsar and Sidon, specifically for the hate of selling, kidnapping, and selling Jewish children. What is going to be the punishment? The punishment is that their children will also be sold as slaves to a foreign nation. Hinani Hashem says, I am Mi'iram, will uproot them. The word Mi'iram in this context, you look at the Mitzudos Tzion, Miloshon His Oirus, I will arouse them, awaken them, I will shake them up. Min Hamokoyim Asher Mechartim Oysom Shama, I will arouse them. In other words, the reference in the first more detail. Himi mi'iram min hamakoyim asher mechartim oisam shama. I will cause the. So here is referring to the victims. What's going to happen here is the victims themselves one day will become adults, and the victims will do the same thing as punishment to their perpetrators. That's what he explains over here, what it means over here. The next Pasuk is going to explain Pasuk Zayin. It's a complex sequence of Pesukim. I will cause these victims themselves, these little children who have been sold as slaves, they will one day become adults, and they will discover their roots. They will discover what happened to them. Min hamokoyim, from the place, asher mechartim oisam shama. At this moment in time, where are the victims living? They're living in Yavon. They, as little children, were sold as slaves to the Greeks. They become adults. They become free men. They uncover their roots. And they discover that the people of Tsar and Sidon have betrayed them, have sold, have taken them away from their children, from their parents, and have sold them as slaves here in Yavan. Now what's going to happen is these children are going to take the people of Tsar Vitzidoin and they will sell them to other nations. They'll sell the children or the people themselves of Tsar Vitzidoin to foreign nations as slaves. They'll ask, how do the people who are living in Yavan have the ability to sell the people of Tsar and Sidon as slaves? They're not living in the same country. The answer is that Hashem, through His Hashkocha Pratis, who is Mesaveit Kol Hasibos, caused everything to happen, will bring it about that the people of Tsar and Sidon will also be conquered, and they will be sent down as slaves to Yavan in the same place where the victims, the children who were the victims of these people, were sold. And they'll meet each other. And they'll say, I can't believe you're a slave. I can't believe, what are you doing here? 30 years ago, you sold me as a slave. The last time I saw you was when you came and conquered Eretz Yisrael, and you took me and you sold me as a slave to the nation of to the Yavanim. And now you're here? How did you get here? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his Hashkocha Pratis, brought the perpetrators here to Tsar and to Yavan, so that now the tables will be turned, there'll be Mida Keneged Mida, and the victims, who are now adults and free men, will take these slaves that have been sent over here and will in turn sell them to other foreign nations. So we want to stop for a moment and welcome back Dr. Wilner. Rabbi Dr. Wilner, welcome back. It's been a long time. It's been a whole summer. Hi. We've missed you. I always ask your son, Eliakim. Oh. I always say hello to him and ask him, how are you? And he tells me, Baruch Hashem, you're good? And I tell him, we're waiting for your return. And Baruch Hashem, here you are. Good. Welcome back. And welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Hope you had a nice summer. Okay. Welcome back.
In America, who do people hire you as ship?
Excellent. Unbelievable. So you see the words, you know, you're saying unbelievable thing. You're saying an unbelievable thing. You see, Mamish, the words of the Navi have come to life. Exactly. Exactly. What the Ukrainians and what the Polish, what they did to us is just beyond imagination. And probably in here, we are the descendants of the victims of their parents. Okay, the people who are over here who are working working for many Jews are grandchildren of Polish citizens who tortured our grandparents. And here in America, the tables in many situations have been turned mamish upside down. It's unbelievable. This exactly, so you know, you read these words of the Navi, you say, this is a little far-fetched, right? The Alvi are Tsar and Sidon. They tortured us. And they took our children, they sold our children as slaves. Why are we in America to begin with? Why are we here? Because of the intense hatred the Poles and the Ukrainians, the Yugoslavians, and the anti-Semites of Europe have for us. Hungarians, you name it. The Russians, you name it. Why are we here in America? They drove us out. Okay, they partnered with Hitler, Yimach Shemo. They drove us out. We're only here because of their hatred. So they sold us here. And now their countries are going under. Their countries are collapsing. Their economy is collapsing. So they have no choice but to come and to emigrate to America and look for work. And who hires them? We, the grandchildren of the only reason why we're here is because of their hatred. And now when they're coming to America, who's hiring them? And who's their boss? Who do they have to be submissive to us? It's mamish, exactly what it says here in the words of the Navi. Something that you would think is so far, it's a little bit hard to really believe such a thing. But it's like, mam, it's unbelievable. What you're saying is really, really so, so true. Hashem says, I'm going to awaken. And now the day of reckoning will come. I will return the punishment upon your head. And here the Pasuk Ches explains exactly the Midah Keneged Midah. Umocharti. And now Hashem says, I will sell, meaning I will sell through my people, the Jewish people who are in Golus, who are in Yavan, they will sell, as B'nei Chen, your sons, V'yes b'noy seichem, your daughters, b'yad, you know, you got to admit he's good. You have to admit he's good.
Don't
mind. At everything said and done.
The voice is
there. He's good. Shavu shleima. ומחרתי יש בניכם ויש בני סכם ביד בני יהודה ומחרום לשבויים and they will sell you as slaves el goy rochoik to a foreign nation. How could it possibly be such a turn of events? Who could make such a thing happen in this world? Even in the movies they couldn't make this up. The answer is ki Hashem diber. Ribbono shel Olam, he controls the world. He can bring about things that in your wildest imagination would never ever happen, would never be possible. He is the one that brings these things about. You know, you really made a very good point. I would never think, and you put the piece together. It's so, so true. It brings these psukim to life. Because let's review this again. Even though we did some of this last year, we went through very quickly, put the whole thing together, starting with Pasuk Vav. Let's read all the psukim together with Farshim together, and let's have it with Mitzudos David. Pasuk Vav, the Mitzvah of the Vav appears on page 255. Pasuk Vav mentions the sin of Bnei Tzor and Sidon. Mechartem Livnei Hayavanim, Kihem Hoyu Shechene Yisrael. Tzor and Sidon were the neighbors of the Jewish people. The Gonvu Kitanehem, Umichorum Livnei Hayavanim. At the time when Eretz Yisrael was conquered, and Eretz Yisrael fell apart at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's learn simply the time of Nebuchadnezzar, maybe even at the time of Melech Ashur, when Melech Ashur conquered the Aseres HaShvatim, or later when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Eretz Yisrael, so there was no authority in Eretz Yisrael. The whole land fell apart. At that time, Tzor and Sidon, who have nothing against Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has never caused them any harm. Nothing, like we learned in the previous pasuk, nothing ever bad happened to them that they should have a reason to be mean to cause us pain. Yet they took advantage and they took our little children and they sold them as slaves to the Yevanim, to the Greeks. Leman, and it says in the pasuk, why Dafka from all the nations put on the slave market? Why did they choose the Yevanim? They probably could have got even more money selling them to someone else. The answer is because the Yevanim is harchikon, because they're far away. And the Mitzvah says why. This is a novel idea. Why they're far away? Why? Leman yirchaku migvulam lebal yiguler hadavar. It should not be revealed. In order to keep it a secret, it was sent far away. Pasuk Zayin. So he learns over here the Miram, the different version of what this means, but according to the Mitzudos, the day will come when the Jewish people will return to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so it's not exactly like what you said, but the other Mepharshim will say exactly like what you said, but according to the Mitzudos, it means the day will come when the Jewish people will return back to Eretz Yisrael and they will meet up with the people of Tzor and Sidon. I will arouse them. They'll return to Eretz Yisrael. Return to Lamar. B'neim Yeshuvahena. The children of these little children that now become adults and have gotten married and have their own children, they'll be Chayzer B'Shuva. They'll return to Eretz Yisrael. The Al Yodam, and through the descendants of the victims, Ashiv Gimulchem Al Rosheichem, I will return punishment upon their heads. What will the punishment be? Umecharti, emsor es b'neichem. The tables will be turned. And now the Jewish people will take you, the people of Tzor and Sidon, your descendants, and will sell them to far away nations. Emsor es b'neichem b'yad b'yehuda elu shechoshul yartzom behem yimkru l'anshei shiva. They will sell you, the descendants of Tzor and Sidon, to the people of Shiva. He is learning over here, Shiva does not mean a generic term as captives, but it's the name of a nation. There is a name of a nation called Shiva. Shiva, right? Malchas, a queen. Malchas Shiva. There was a Shlomo HaMelech, huh?
Ethiopia,
wherever his whole shot. The Medrash says that Shlomo HaMelech invited her. Shlomo HaMelech lived with her. He lived with her. That's what it says in the Medrash. And she got pregnant. And who was the descendant of this union? Nebuchadnezzar. Says it in the Medrash that Shlomo HaMelech, he is the one who's the great-grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar. Malchashiva came to Eretz Yisrael. He was intrigued with her. And he lived with her. That's what it says. And then I guess the grandfather of Nebuchadnezzar was Biladon. I've got the whole sequence of events. There are three generations of the grandfather, the father, the whole Shalshelis Hadoros of Nebuchadnezzar, according to this Medrash, all started with Shlomo HaMelech, when he had marital relations with Malcha Sheva, the queen of Sheba. So here it says, that's the nation, Le'anshe Sheva HaYoshim B'mi Merchok, Le'man Lo Yoshuvu Li'artzom L'roif HaMerchok, the same exact thing. Here the Mitzvot does not say, this is why Klai Shol is going to do this, no one should find out. They couldn't care less. About Shlomo HaMelech? I don't think so. But you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Things have changed quite a bit today. The curriculum has changed. What? They were teaching even the yeshivas today. I'm not so sure they weren't teaching.
That's the things that
he would say. The things are shocked. The shock things. Okay. Ki Hashem diber. Hashem has spoken. Ka'omer umi yoshiv amorov. Okay, amazing stuff here. Really, truly amazing. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, he goes and he calls the shots. We start with this nation. Sorry, we learned last week in great detail that Tzaretzin have absolutely no reason to hate us. We have done nothing to them. In fact, they were good to us. In fact, there was a very good relationship with Tzaretzin because they were partners with Shlomo HaMelech in building the Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo HaMelech was very gracious to them by paying them very well. He gave them 20 cities, 20 beautiful cities. And Melech Tzor was not very happy with the payment, whatever it was. And here we find this whole sequence of events which leads to they sold us as slaves. The day will come when we will return to Eretz Yisrael and sell them as slaves, not to Yavon, but according to the Mitzudos, to the kingdom of Sheva. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, go back to Pasuk. Up to Pasuk, only one Rashi, right? There's only one Rashi, Pasuk Ches. On Pasuk Ches, it says, Lishvoyim, Livnei Sheva. He also learns that this refers to a nation. Ki Hashem diber, Hechon diber. Where did Hashem say this? Where did Hashem, Rashi is coming, show me the source. Eved Avodim Yihyeh Le'echav. Kein mifurosh b'mechilta, you'll be a slave to slaves. So what's here the significance? You, it's a very, very powerful idea. We, the Jewish people, were their slaves. We were punished. Klal Yisrael sinned. Thus Hashem allowed Nebuchadnezzar and Melech Ashur to conquer us. We were sold as slaves. Now, according to this Rashi, this Chazal, it's very frightening. The title of slave really has not left us. That's what it says. It has not left us until, I guess, the coming of Mashiach. We were sold as slaves. When we return to Eretz Yisrael, at least according to the way the Mitzudos learns, we're still the Geder, a slave. A slave who has escaped the clutches of Yavan. What did we do? We then took our enemy who sold us, and we sold them as slaves. So they are an eved to an eved, and we are avodim to who? Really to them. Really starts. It's circular. We were their slave. I mean, we were sold by them as slaves, and now we came back, and we who are the slaves in their eyes have sold them as slaves. So they are an eved to an eved. That's what it says. That's how we learn shat. That's more of a drush. That's the obvious, not the posh pshat, the pasik. That's a curse to Canaan. Canaan, because of what he did to Noach, Noach cursed him that you will be an eved, avodim yihyeh le'echav. Your descendants will be slaves to slaves. We're not obviously talking about Canaan. We're taking the pasuk out of context. We're making a drasha, and we're saying that this idea, where our enemies are going to be sold as slaves, is during, even during the time of Golos, was fulfilled over here in this event. Now let's take a look at the Radak. Radak started with Pasuk Vav, back on page 253, Uvnei Yehuda, Ba'oidem Be'aretzam Mehiyisem Goyimvim Esakatanim Loichem Oysam Levnei Ha'ivanim. Here what we learned is that during this period of time we're reviewing is that Tsar and Sidon took the Jewish people of Yehuda and sold them as slaves to the Ivanim. Shahim Ruchoikim Be'aretz Yisrael L'man Lo Yoshuvu Oiv Li'aretzam. See here, I told you last week. The Mitsudo says the reason why they sold us to a faraway land is so that no one should discover the crime. They wanted to commit the perfect crime. Sherlock Holmes, ever watch Sherlock Holmes? The perfect crime. No one should figure out what happened. That's why they sold us to a faraway land. No one should discover what they have done. Radak obviously disagrees. That was not their intent. They could not care less if the world knew that they're the ones who sold us as slaves. The goal was, once we're there, we are not coming back because we'll assimilate. We will just disappear. Oy Omar, ze bigolusam, shabo im oyvehem, for you loichem, or this means, bigolusam, shabo im oyvehem, boho you loichem, abon moichem, or some laivonim. Okay, I don't really know the difference. I don't really get the difference. In the second parish, Omar Zeb Bigolusam. This was said about them in their Golus, Shabo im Oyvehem, Shabohu im Oyvehem, Bohoyu Lechem Abonim, Umoichem Oysam Baivanim. I don't really know the difference in the two parishim. To me, it seems like he's saying the same thing twice. Let's just leave it. Let's go further. Pasuk Zayin, Hilmi Miram Hashem says, the day will come and I will arouse them. Ki Oid Yashuvu Liaratsam. Just like the Mitsudais. The day will come when Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael. Even though it's very far away, Yashuv Liartsam Heim Oy Bineyem. The Pintel Yid has a tracking device. It knows no matter where they are, somehow if it navigates, they make their way back to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very beautiful Musa Haskel. Even though the Goyim have sent us out all the way very far away, somehow our tracking device, we are pulled. There is a magnetic pull to return back to Eretz Yisrael. You go back to Eretz Yisrael. There is a certain sense. I always think, I was once involved a while ago with a group of people who were doing something. They were doing something for. I can't tell you the details, not because it's not really nice. Some little lush and horror here, but they work on a project. And the people that work on the project, these are from people, they really had no connection to what was going on. It wasn't shaykh to them. It wasn't on their league. But yet, I always sensed they felt so proud that they were part of this. They knew subconsciously they're doing something big. The Zionists, let's talk about the hardcore, secular, anti-religious Zionists. I can't speak for anyone myself, but my little small opinion is they knew they're doing something big, even though to them Eretz Yisrael doesn't make a difference. It'll be very theoretically Uganda. You got Uganda. Go to Los Angeles. Who cares? Deep down, the Pintle Yid knew they're doing something very big. They don't have a shaychist. They're not interested in religion, in yados, v'chudu, whatever. It's all a show. It's all a facade. Deep down, why are you being moiser nefesh? Why are you willing to give up your life for this? Why do you go to such an extreme? Is it you're a patriot? It's like you're like the Americans who established the United, broke away from Britain. No, it's not. It's not the same thing. There is this spiritual core that is there and knows deep down they're laying the foundation for Yemos HaMashiach. It has to be. It has to be. I'm saying real stuff here. They would hang me in Eretz Yisrael, right? They would hang me, somebody was saying this. But I really believe it's true. And I saw this on a much smaller scale when I was involved in a certain program. The people that were involved, they just no connection to this, but yet I saw they knew deep down this is choshev.
Of course,
right. All of these things that the mazel, their neshama is ringing, it's radiating. It doesn't know what's pulling it, but it knows. Just somehow it knows. It has this sensation that this is choshev. There's something important that's happening over here. So here they're going to come back. They are going to return. They will return. Oh, look who I meet in the street. I remember you. You're the guy who sold my grandfather as a slave to Yavan. You know what happened to me there in Yavan, all the stories? Now it's your turn. Your turn. I'm going to sell you as a slave. I'm going to sell you as a slave to the Malchus of Sheva. Let's go back in the record. So does one more time. Exactly in Radak, page 255. The victims who have been sold, they will one day return to Eretz Yisrael. Even though they're very, very far away. So what? Yashuvu liaretzon. Hey, they themselves, the victims. Oy, maybe they won't live to merit to go back themselves, but their children will return. Oy b'neihem. Oy, maybe both. Oy heim, gam b'neihem. Heim, when both? Heim b'tchias hamesim. Not today. La'asilavoy. U'b'neihem sheyiyu bizman ha'yeshua. Okay, so their children will merit to be alive, to witness the coming of Mashiach, and they who have not merited, they will come back and tell Matchias HaMesim, and they'll meet these people, the people who sold them, or their grandparents. Umocharti kiloimar, emserim biyodom, now the tables will be turned. Vehem, they, the Jewish people, the returnees, yimkurum, they will sell those who sold them, lashevoim. Who are the Shavuot? It's a nation that's even further away. Lishvoim. And notice here in this Radak, he has the Yod, the Chirik, under the Aleph. Not like we have in our edition under the Yod. So right away you get curious, what's the proper pronunciation of this word? So where do you go when you have that question? Where do you look? In the Minchas Shai. An article has done us the favor of printing the Minchas Shai here on the page. So you see, when you see our editions, it's a funny word. Wait, Lishvoim. And in the Radak, it's Lishvoim. So where is the Chirik? So these questions, you go to the Minchas Shai, and he says, Yesh Sefarim, on page 254. First he talks, Pasachas, the second, the end of the line, Lishvoim. Notice in his Dibur HaMaskel, at least the way they printed on this page, is that Chirik is under the Aleph. B'Ktzos Svarim Aleph the Chirik. V'Hayud Nocha. The Yud is quiet. It's just a vowel. V'Zeu Das Radak, like we just read, B'Perush U'Miksas Svarim, like we have in the text of the Sefer, Ha Aleph Nocha, the Aleph is silent. There is no letter. The Aleph is just there for padding. The Hayud Noa is vowelized. Bechirik. The Hudas Radak Atzma. The Radak contradicts himself. This is what he says himself in the Sefer Michlol, Daf Reish Lamites. That was the Sefer, which the grammar Sefer. The Michlol Yoifi Tofas the Michlal, and the Sefer Michlal Yoifi. I think he's calling it the beautiful Sefer. He's praising it. Tofas Iker L'Shoin HaMichlol. It seems that that's the correct. What it says there in the Sefer HaMichlol, not over here, like what it says in our text, that the Chirik should be underneath the Yud, not underneath the Aleph. Uva Mesoira Kesivas Yod Al Pasik, and then we have a Mesoira. I don't know who he's referring to. Mibein Afoyim. There's another nation called Afoyim. That's not the same thing over here as the Shevoim. That's another nation. But the way the word is constructed is identical. Different, and therefore, over there, there's a chirik under the yud. That would be a support that it should be here as well. It should be the chirik Shebi Matsasi Loshan Ze Ilaim Kisivin Olaf Veloy Kaino. They are actually in the Sefer. It's more than that. He actually goes and he says that there's a collection of words which this is the correct pronunciation. Shevoyim Pesoyim Afoyim Tsevoyim Atkan Tehini Mivaram Shevoyim Hainu. And now we're going to, therefore, he learns it as the word Shevoyim Hainu Umikorum Lishvoyim. This goes on to explain this. He just goes on to repeat himself and repeat the other words. Okay, just basically what I point over here is that there are two different ways to be vowelized this word. And I believe the nafkamina is, what does this word actually mean? If you learn that it means shevoyim, and you put the chirik underneath the yud, it's the name of a nation. Malchas Shiva. The Aleph is like the end of the word. Like, you know, you have Shiva, you have a word, a noun. So you don't just Shiva. You have to have an Aleph to land. Malchas Shiva. Shin Vez Aleph. Now when you want to say it in the plural, you want to say that you're going to sell people as the slaves to the citizens of this nation. You preserve the Aleph. The Aleph is silent. Shevoyim. Yud Mem is the plural. But if the word Shevoyim is not the name of a nation, it's the name of you're going to be sold as captives. You're going to be sold as, I think that's really, I have to really go back to Rashi. See, maybe I made a mistake in Rashi, and now things are percolating when I talk to you. Rabbi Shur, when he gives a shir, he always says that when he says things, it's only, he always like says, it's the zchus of the rabbin. It's not, when he learned, when he prepared one way. And now when he's saying, he sees a whole different world. He sees the whole thing saying, so you would say, well, that's what happens. Normally you would say that when you're teaching, there's a certain clarity that comes to you because you are forced to pay closer attention. So he says, no, that's not necessarily the case. Just because you're talking to many people and you're afraid and you're nervous, and there's the Emas Atzibur, does not necessarily mean that you're going to understand the psukim differently than the way you prepared. But he says it's a spiritual experience. If you're learning Torah, the Shechina, Asara Sheyoshim, Shechina Beinayim. There are 10 people sitting and learning. The Shechina is resting. So the things that go through your mind, it's like Ruach HaKodesh. It's the Tzibur's Ruach HaKodesh. The Tzibur is here, so the Tzibur brings with them a desire to come close to Hashem. Rabbi Shur would say, that would bring an unusual lamala that's not natural. If you're giving a college course, it wouldn't happen. That there would be a certain clarity. But when you're learning as a Tzibur, Torah, there's a siyata d'shmaya that's not natural, which gives understanding that you otherwise would never have had. Okay, so hopefully we have to aim that should happen here as well. But over here, something just clicked in my mind as I was speaking to you is that you're saying something very, very deep, the Mincha Shai. You're saying it very simple, but the difference and this simple little thing is a world of a difference. And I think now I understand Rashi very differently. According to, there are two ways to vowelize the word. Is it Shiva Yim or is it Shiva Im? If it's Shiva Im, I'm sorry, if Shiva Yim, if we put the chirik, the dot, under the yud, then it refers to the nation of Shiva. Because the nation is spelled Shin Beis Aleph. And we want to refer to the citizens, the individuals, the plural, then it would be Shiva Yim. But if the word refers to a captive, Shevi, you take a person as a captive, a Shivya, a captive, the word, what's the Hebrew word for a captive? The Shavish is Shin Beis. V'ro'isa ba Shivya eshes yifas toyar. And there it's probably spelled with a hey, I would imagine. How is it spelled there?
What?
Shiva, v'isa basha, with a hey. But just because there's a hey, doesn't, it's the same, the word with the aleph, the hey and the aleph can be interchanged for different stylistic reasons. Then the word is related to Viroisa Bashivya. You will see among the captives, Esha Sifas Toyar. So if you put the dot, not under the yud, but under the aleph, then the word Lishvoim means they will sell you to captives. That when the Jewish people take revenge against the nation of Tsar Vitzidon for what they have done to them, we're not going to be so nice. You sold us to Yevonim, to free men. We're going to sell you to slaves. That's what Rashi really means. Eved avodim yihyeh le'ochiv. When Rashi over here says, I told you a different parish. I told you a wild shot because I didn't understand it that way. Only thing which made sense to me. But now you go back and you see what it says over here. But you know, I take that back because Rashi really contradicts himself. Rashi says, maybe not. That's what threw me up. Rashi first says, Lishvoyim. Rashi here, at least in our printed edition, has the dot underneath the yud. And he writes, Levnei Shiva. So it sounds like Rashi is referring to a nation. But then Rashi says, Ki Hashem diber. When did Hashem say this? Eved avodim yihyeh le'ochav. Which seems to imply that Rashi learns the word Shiva. Shiva is a captive. And therefore, the correct nikud is not shivoyim, but rather it's shivoim, with the nikud, with the adat underneath the aleph. And that's indeed why they're now going to be an eved to avodim. A shivya is a captive. A captive is a slave. And now you're going to be sold to them. So enechanami, that's called eved avodim. So Rashi here appears to contradict himself, unless you want to say that the whole nation of Shiva, they're bechlal a nation that are a nation of slaves. They're subject, they're under someone else's authority. So therefore, enechanami, the reason why they're called Malcha Shiva is because they were a nation of slaves. They were slaves to a higher authority. So now you're going to be sold to them. You're going to be an Eved Avodim. But that would still force us to vowelize the word with a Yud underneath the Aleph, not underneath the Yud. From Rashi, the way they printed it here in the art scroll is not Mukhrach, because I do not believe in any ancient editions there is Nikud under, there is Nikud. Who put the Nikud here in this Rashi? Who? Who is the one who put the Yud, the Dot, under the Yud in this Rashi? So you have to say one of two things. Either they put it like that because that's what it says in the text. Okay, there is a Mesorah. The Mesorah, obviously, when art school and art school when they put these printed words on the page, they didn't make up the dots. They took the dots from the classic, the Mesorah, whatever we have. So when they put down the words of Rashi, they just copy pasted. Whatever is said in the text, they put into the Rashi. Rashi never had Nikud. You're not going to find any ancient text that had Nikud for Rashi. So they took whatever is said in the text, they put here in the Rashi. But we know as a fact that often, but every so often, Rashi has a different girsa. Okay, in Nevi'im, the Mesorah of the Nevi'im is not like the Mesorah of Chumash, which is perfect, was good as it gets. The Mesorah, especially for Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there are questions. What exactly is the correct Nikud? And who says Rashi's Mesorah was to have the dot underneath the Yud? So what would throw you off right away? Because it says Levnei Shiva. We're talking about a nation. If you're talking about a nation, so then you, and that's right, you put the dot underneath the Yud. But what then does Rashi mean when Rashi says Heichon Diber, Heichon Diber, Eved Avodim? Eved Avodim means you're going to be a slave to a Shevi, to a Shivya. If you're going to be a slave to a Shivya, then it should not be Lishvoyim, it should be Lishvoim. As the Minchashai notes that there is another Mesorah. Okay, so going over here, it's an interesting idea. You see over here how far the Mesorah goes, learning a simple translation, the simple translation of the Pasuk. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go. Okay, Pasuk, back to Pasuk Ches, Umacharti. Okay, Pasuk Ches, Umacharti, Kloimar, Emserim, Biyadam. I'll give you over into their hands. Vehem Yimkrum, Lashvaim, Shem, Luchoikim. Let's next Dibra Maschil. We did that already, right? Let's read again one time. Lishvaim. B'tnua so aleph b'chirik v'hayud nocha shevoim heim b'nei sheva. Who are these people? So he really says they are the b'nei sheva. V'heim mizrachis d'roim. It seems like it's the name of a nation. Mizrachis, they're captives. Sheva, they are mizrachis d'roim. They live in the east, the southeast. The southeast, the Eretz Yisrael. So where would be, where today would be today the southeast of Eretz Yisrael. So that's like where Iraq is, right? Isn't that, no? Iraq is north, so what's down there?
Well, you have Egypt, Sudan.
No, that Egypt is in the southwest. Egypt is in the southwest. Southeast. Jordan is north. Jordan is really north.
Jordan is east.
Okay, it's east, fine, but it's not south.
Arabia.
So
Saudi
what is
Arabia.
Oh, Saudi Arabia. Okay, so it sounds like someone in Saudi Arabia. Fine. Ulitzar with Sidon, Ufiloshes, Vehem Rechoikim, Me'oid, Me'ele, Haratzai. So these places are very, very far away. All right, whatever that means. Let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim, Pasuk Vav. So here he, at least he tells us this took place during the time of the Churban Nebuchadnezzar. At this time, Tsar and Sidon took advantage. So he is coming to put the finger why Hashem has it out for them. It's one thing you want their money. You want profit. You have a business opportunity. Klal Yisrael is under attack. They're vulnerable. It's an opportunity for you to make money, so you steal their gold or silver and you sell their children as slaves. But why did you have to sell the children as slaves to Yavon? There were people that were willing to buy them here locally. Why did you have to do this extra wicked act? It's because of an intense hatred you have for the Jewish people. And for that, you will be especially punished. For that, you're going to get an extra special bonus of punishment. What you have done, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. Pasuk Zayin Ches, go further in the Malbim. Hineni mira min ha-makom sheb'eish shebo ha-yivon v'ha-chirivu tzar v'tzidai. Now here he learns here something a little bit different. This is the way I really translated the pasuk when I start off with you. And as you mentioned, in America, I forgot your name. What's your name? I forgot your last name.
Heshi Barth.
Barth, B-A-R-T-H?
Correct.
Heshi Barth. So of Heshi, he went and he here, this is how we explained, this is how we originally explained the perish hamilas of the pasuk. According to all the mafarshim so far, it means that Klal Yisrael will one day return. We will return to Eretz Yisrael and we will take revenge against our enemies. The Malbim is saying, no, we're not returning yet. We're still in Golus. But what's going to happen is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring them to us in Golus. And we will punish them in Golus the same way what they did to us when we were in Eretz Yisrael. It makes it much more, the Hashkacha is much more amazing in this translation. The day came, years later, when the Yavanim, the Syrian Greeks, that was during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Yavanim, they went and they destroyed Tsar Vitzidon. And what did they do to the citizens of Tsar Vitzidon? They took them down to Yavon. Now that took place how many years later? Probably 300 years later. If we want to take it from what we know about history, basic, degree exceptions, but when was the Tekufa of the ascent of Yavon? It was smack in the middle of the Bayis Sheni. Right smack in the middle. That was when they were in their zenith of power. So when did the Yavanim? So here, over here, Yoel is talking. We don't even know when Yoel lived. That was the whole machlokes. But Yoel is telling us that it's going to be a Churban. The Malbim says he's focusing on the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Churban Bayis from the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon to the time when the Yavanim rose to their zenith of power was approximately 250 years. 70 years of Galus, 70 years of until they rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, even a little bit more, really. And then, let's say until they got into power, another period of time, about 200, a little bit less than 200 years. So let's make believe it's 250 years, approximately. So it's 250 years we're talking over here about the great, 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 great grandchildren, way, way down the line. But the day will come when Tsar v'Yavon will go and conquer, the Yavonim will conquer Tsar and Yavon, will take the citizens and schlep them down to Yavon. And there in Yavon, who do they meet? They meet the great, 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 great grandchildren of whom their parents sold as slaves. And here, at this point in time, the Jews are going to be in a position of power in Yavon, and they will now take these people and sell them as slaves. Tables are turned. But look how many generations it took. Look how many generations it took for Kadosh Baruch Hu to mete out justice. It's amazing. You look at what goes on in the world, you have no clue. We have no clue that things are happening today. People are in certain positions of power and people are punished. This goes back generations. The tables are turned. You know, it's very, very funny. I know of a story. A person recently was Nifter and they were buried. Hashkocha brothers had it, they were buried next to a certain person. I remember my mother telling me that the person who they're buried to did everything they can possibly do, that the person who was recently Nifter should not be part of the family. should be distanced far, far away. Should be banished. And that person was overruled. All of the attempts of Reuven to Shimon, and Reuven tried very, very hard to push away Shimon, that Shimon should not be able to enter into a certain family. And Reuven did not succeed. And he tried very hard. But he did not succeed. And now, it's like, they're buried next to him. And now Shimon, and it was b'hashkoch, it wasn't meant to be. It was not meant to be that Shimon should be buried next to him.
They say this about the
they were buried next to each other?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
They saw
right next to each other. Very interesting. So it's so bizarre to me how, like, this Reuven was pushing away Shimon, and not only did they not succeed, they're together forever. The mamish buried next to each other. You don't know. Things take...
Yeah, you're right.
What difference does it make anyway? You're right. Who knows these things? Are you saying that Moshe is a very important halacha? Because halacha is very interesting. The halacha that Moshe Feinstein says that you're not supposed to bury a tzaddik next to a rasha. So by extension, people do not want to be buried next to a person who was not necessarily a rasha, who was not a shomer Torah u'mitzvahs. It was a mechal Shabbos. Listen, you know, some people in Mechal Shabbos that are a bigger place than Gan Eden, we know that, than some Rebbes, okay? We know that it's not Hashem judges on his will. But for us, who they're seen very little, so you don't want to be buried. If you went, at least you make believe you're Hashem Shabbos. It's not their heretz to put a person who's Hashem Shabbos next to a person that was not Hashem Shabbos. At least from what we see, we're also allowed to do certain things. So it happens often that in a cemetery there are plots, and you're not in control. And the plot where they want to, it's a rabbi. Let's say your own family. This is involved with your rabbi. You're dealing with this every single day, and it comes out. You come to the cemetery, and there's a very good person. Happens to be, he's going to be buried right next to a person that was not a shomer Shabbos. What do you do? What?
In B'nai Brak, in Israel.
Yeah.
There's one big cemetery that's really two cemeteries.
Yeah.
There's the Ponyvitz Cemetery. And then there's a wall.
A wall, yeah.
And it's called the Shomer Shabbos Cemetery.
Yeah.
And that's where you have the Vizhnitz Chassidim, that's where you have the Kanievsky.
So why is there a wall?
Because it's a separate cemetery. cemetery called the Shomer Shabbos.
Okay, Shomer Shabbos. But let's say it happened.
They built a wall around the whole cemetery, even though it's.
All right, but it's Meisim. It's Meisim b'chol yoim, where you have an issue, you have a person, Shomer Shabbos, and the way it works out is they're going to bury him next to a person that's not a Shomer Shabbos. What do you do? So there are some people that say you have to put up a fence. You have to have a mechitza, if you really want to take that plot. Rav Moshe says, after 12 months, it doesn't make any difference. If the person that's not Shomer Shabbos has died more than 12 months ago, the person that you have, a person right now, there's a Leviathan today, Rahman al-Islam, they have to bury the person today. And he's going to be buried next to a person that's not Shomer Shabbos. When did this person die? When was he buried? If he was buried more than 12 months ago, it's not an issue. This whole issue of burying someone who's a Shomer Shabbos next to a person that's not a Shomer Shabbos, which is not supposed to be done, is only if the person who's not Shomer Shabbos died, or vice versa, the gap is less than 12 months. After 12 months, the din is over. It doesn't make any difference. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. That's an interesting thing just off the topic.
But how is the opposite?
What?
Somebody empty plot and the next bed, you don't know.
So it's not right. You're not supposed to bury a person who is something you have control.
Yeah.
That in that situation, we have a person who's a Shomer Shabbos, and now someone who's not a Shomer Shabbos. Well, the person who's a Shomer Shabbos after 12 months also doesn't make a difference,
yeah,
right?
But
let's say it's within 12 months, right? And then they want to go put a person you don't even know about. They want a person who's not a Shomer Shabbos. So most of the time you can't control. There's nothing you can do about it. Unless the family of the person who is Shomer Shabbos, they can now immediately build a little fence, at least for 6 months until they put up a little mechitza between the two, But most in that type of order, you can't do anything. What are you going to do? You can't tell them you can't bury it over here. But in a situation where they're burying the Shomer Shabbos, and if the halacha is you can't do it, then they'll bury it somewhere else. But you want to be buried over here. The family wants it because over here was going to mishpacha. There's the plot. Oh, but there's a halachic issue. There's a halachic issue that you're not supposed to do this. So they typically do this. They do this. You see sometimes in cemeteries there's like poles between kvarim. That's like a halachic mechitza. You don't have to if it's more than 12 months. Of course, you're going to have big rabbis, big chassidim, then they're not going to like this psak halacha. They're going to build a fence no matter what. But me'ikar hadin, there's no need. What? You see. Even by the Rav Henoch Leibowitz. Rav Henoch Leibowitz, who was Chavetz Chaim, who was nifted not that long ago, so they built a mechitza around his kever. There's a mamish and mechitza. You look there, around like it's like poles, because it seems like the people that are mamish next to him. No, not everyone. No, that's exactly why they did it. They're not. That's exactly why they did. The people they heard from, the people who runs the cemetery, who's about Simcha Soloveitchik. The people there, they're mamish right next to him. I don't think they're.
Like a patio.
I know all the tourists there.
There are a lot of rebbes right there. They're big. That section, the very holy section.
Yeah.
But not everyone.
Okay.
Mamish. Not everyone there is. It could be. I don't know. I really don't know. It could be not Shomer Shabbos. It could be they were not Shomer Shabbos. People that he's mamish buried next to. So they felt he was a Rosh Hashiva. It's not Lafi Kfoide. He's not doing this. Significant fence. Yeah, it's pole. It's not like a wall. It's like poles.
Right away. They did it
afterwards. Okay, because then he's going
to
complain.
Right next to my grandparents and uncle. No.
You know, however, so whatever. So this is, okay, these are light issues, small issues. Much more important what happens among the living. The living is much more important than the dead. When you're dead, you're dead. It doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is when you're alive. Let's go further. Okay, so therefore the tables are going to be returned. So let's read one pasuk, Zayin Ches. What does it say in pasuk, Zayin Ches? Hirni mi'ira min amokam shebe'esh shebo ha'yavadim ve'achriv v'tzar v'tzidoyin he'viu es b'neim v'b'nosem l'eretz yavon. Not like everything we've learned until now. Now they are going to be brought by Ritzi Yavan. The Sham there, when Tsar and Sidon come down to Yavan, the Sham there, Kanu Oysam HaYehudim, the Jews will purchase these people, Shehiglu Sham Yad Bnei Yavan. The Jews will be in charge, and they're going to buy these people. V'hei machra sablevei sheva shu goy rochok laharkikam gam kei mi'al givulam. Nimsa. So what is the result? Look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha pratis. Ne'enshu al yidei ha-yehudim atzmam asher machru. The Jews whom they themselves sold will now sell them. When you harm someone, you're harming yourself. And Pumfakert. Yeah, what goes around comes around. And Pumfakert, when you do a chesed, who are you really doing a chesed for? For yourself. Ultimately, Shlach Lachmucha al Pnei Hamoyim, Ki Biroiv Yomim, what does Pasuk say? After many days, you'll be the one who will benefit from that chesed. Uva oisa mida shehe reyu lohem will be the same mida which they did mida kinegin. This is an incredible hashkoch, and as you said, as Rav Heshi said, those who came late, that's mamish exactly what happened here in America. Look what happened in America. Remember what we said before many people came after, he said this in the beginning of the year. In America, why are we here in America? How did we get here? Everyone here does not come from America. You're not an anicle of the Indians. Where do you all come? We all come from Poland, Hungary, Hungary. We come from Russia. We come from Europe. Some people may be descendants from Germany, from France. Or, why are we here? Because they hate us so much. They hate us in these countries so much. Ultimately, some way, somehow, we had to run away. Whether we came here because of the Holocaust, whether we came before the Holocaust, we found ourselves over here because they drove us out. And now, years later, what happened to them? These countries. What happened to Poland? Poland is a third world country. Poverty. Okay, the third world. The poverty is unbelievable. What happened? What happened in Russia? Russia, the Soviet Union, the collapse. And where do all these people escape to? America. And many times, not all the time, who's working for who? Who's the boss? More often than not, it's today, 2018. The Jew is the employer, and the Pole, or Russians, or some of these people, they are the employee, and they are subject to our goodwill. The tables have been turned. We're only here because their grandparents, great-grandparents, or great-grandparents threw us out. They drove us out. And now when they come here, we're in charge. And their subject, we're pretty good to them. We're very good, too good to them. But they're subject to our goodwill. What? We give them lunch. They're not the one who's giving us lunch. So look at the irony. Look at Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's Mesaviv Kol HaSibos. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the words of these psukim, they leap off the page. It comes to life. The emes of the Navi. You can run, but you can't hide. The words of Hashem will always come through whether we like it or not. Let's finish up this Chazal. Let's take a look at the woman Chazal and we'll finish. Yusukim Pasuk Ches. Biyad Pasuk Ches. Biyad Yehuda U'mecharum L'shvoim El Goy Rechoy Ki Hashem Diber. Okay, there's one Chazal here on page 254. U'mecharti Es B'neichem V'yes B'nosechem Biyad B'nei Yehuda U'mecharum L'shvoim El Goy Rechoy Ki Hu Diber. Hechon Diber. Vayomer, exactly this is what Rashi quoted, this Mila, Mila, the Mila. Okay, so this concludes the sukkah. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we're going to start with Pasuk Tes, a new sugya. Okay, tomorrow is a new sugya in Sefer Yoyel.